Okay, it's on. We're live.
All right, Jesus, thank you for bringing us all here tonight and bring forth the word with power and edification to the hearers, Jesus. And thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm always amazed at how the Lord orders our steps when I hear the music, because the songs always seem to correlate with what we're talking about. And I was hearing Rivers of Life, and I remember going over that in here, and Strength. So thank you, guys. I want to say also, when we're reading and we're going through this, some of y'all felt comfortable to tell stories. Feel free to tell a story, because your testimony can help us gain wisdom from what we're learning as well. So if there's something that you have experiential, and not just with this chapter, but through this study that helps us understand it better, we'd love to glean your wisdom from your experience of it. So we're in Proverbs chapter 10, and I had a bit of a time when I was going through it trying to figure out like what I should lump together. So some of these are some large swaths, but if would someone be willing to read verses 1 through 10? Go, Andrew.
A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let us go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers a crop in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son. Blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence ruins the mouth of the wicked. The name of the righteous is used in blessings, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart accepts commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity and integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Whoever winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, I know that's a chunk. I call this chapter Wisdom Bombs, because it's just wisdom bomb, wisdom bomb, wisdom bomb, wisdom bomb. So there's a lot there, but what stood out for each one of you?
He that sleeps in the harvest, you know, like it could be like the harvest time. It's harvesting souls. He that winneth souls is wise, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made me think of. So some people aren't gathering souls. So if you gather not, you're scattering abroad, right? He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So anyway, that's what, when I heard that, it kind of stuck out, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
On two, I just kept thinking of things I tell Elijah. It says, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit. He loves playing a game where the whole point is to pillage.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I would say the one that says lazy hands, it's kind of reminds me of me, that I do have a tendency to be sometimes lazy. It is something that I do have a habit, but I'm trying to get better at being less lazy, being more productive. And I would say that's something that kind of resonated with me, is that it was reminded me that yes, that being lazy does not give no reward. It only causes suffering. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't help be productive. And I feel like this verse kind of resonated with me on a personal level, because it reminded me that yes, while yes, I am lazy sometimes, I'm trying my hardest to get out of the laziness, be more productive in my spare time.
That stuck out to me too, because I was thinking about a couple chapters back when we were in Proverbs 6, it was talking about the ants, and the ants were, you know, how they function in the summer, so they're preparing. So that stuck out to me as well. Anyone else?
Daisy.
Go, Daisy, I'm sorry.
In verse 3, the Lord will not let the righteous go hungry, but he denies the wicked what they crave. I was just thinking, like, he's not denying the wicked what they crave because he's, like, vengeful towards them. He's denying what they crave out of love, because they are wicked and what they're craving is not.
Amen.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Anything else?
Verse 8, and I've got it in the net. It says, the wise person accepts instruction, but the one who speaks foolishness will come to ruin.
Why did that stick out to you?
Because if you can't accept correction, the know-it-alls never make it. Mm-hmm. They'll know what they know and never learn anymore. Mm-hmm. If you can't accept correction and redirection, you're going down the wrong path. There's no growth in that.
It's true. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to...
You said you allowed it. When I first got in the real estate business, when I was 22, the regulations weren't as tight as they are today. But I think of the opportunities that I had to use wickedness in my transactions. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that delivered me, because that really wasn't a time that Sharon led me to the Lord, really. I always thought that the way to really win at the game of life is to play by the rules. So if I prospered, I wanted to do it according to the rules. I think it was pride at that point. I can do this by the rules. And I found that attitude was a very big benefit. If I'm going to play the game, I'm going to play it according to the rules and win. Not against the rules or fudge on the rules and win. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't bring satisfaction when you close a big deal or you do something. There's no joy in it.
Ms. Sharon, do you have anything to add to his stories?
No, he does things right. He learned his lessons.
Yeah. Anything else?
Let me just say that, whether you're walking with the Lord or not, these principles are life-giving and for this life. Mm-hmm. I mean, they definitely will bring blessings in this natural life. Like Dad was telling a story before he was saved. He knew that these principles would bring success and it would be a way to, handle business. And what it makes me think of is, how many of us, maybe not us, but how many believers play church? They do all the right things, but we just got to remember that there's got to be a substance to it. There's got to be, like, Jesus has to be at the center of all of it. It can't just be checking boxes or, doing all the right things, because the principles work, and I know a lot of Christians, even in, people that I work with that are, they go to church, they talk about the Lord, but I wonder how many of them actually have a relationship with the Lord. So I just, I'm just throwing that out there, something to think about. They're more than just principles to live by, but they are also showing us, how to be godly and how to have a relationship with the Lord too. Mm-hmm. Like, our focus has to be right for them to really work. Mm-hmm. The way God intends them to work, not just in the naturally, but in the afterlife, in heaven.
So. I think those go hand in hand. I think if you have a good relationship with Jesus, you're automatically going to follow that path.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Verse 4 is really intriguing. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent make rich. Something I learned, if you have something you really need, it's better to go to a person that is swamped than a person that has extra time. Somehow they manage to get it in. Those that deal with a slack hand, they are destined to poverty. Poverty naturally, poverty spiritually. So a diligent hand, like the house of God, attention to your business, attention to things in the family, to the kids, that deals with a slack hand, that come see, come saw. I don't feel led today of going to the house of the Lord. I think God wants me to watch the football game and pray for the Saints or something, you know. New England Saints, everybody, okay.
So, speaking to both of y'all's things, you know, the relationship part, and then, you know, whether you feel like it or not that day.
Yeah.
So, speaking to those two points, I remember when I was a beginner Christian, I just accepted Jesus. If I messed up that week, I suddenly thought, I'm not a Christian anymore, and I have to go back up there and I have to accept Jesus again. I don't know how many times, like in my first year walking with the Lord, that I must have gone back up there to re-receive the Lord. But it goes to show, like, your relationship with the Lord isn't based on feeling. And it goes to show that, you know, just because you may not always feel like, you know, Lord, am I in a relationship with you? The fact that you have a desire in your heart and you're still trying to seek after Him and you are, you care about that, you have a relationship, you're seeking that out, there's that motivation. But that's my little wisdom story that I am growing in the Lord. Is there anything else?
He said, growing up, there's still churches that have altar calls every week and people show up every week for the same altar call.
I was one of those people for a long time. Yeah.
Which is okay if they want to rededicate themselves, more power to them.
Yeah.
I was looking at Tim with the winking. I was thinking of certain politicians.
Who is that?
Tim. He that winketh with the eyes. What you were talking about, that was 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. I mean, yeah, you can deal unjustly with others, but eventually everything is going to come to light.
I don't know how many of you have ever been driving and you see a red light behind you, cop car. We either have two statements. We either bow our head and look at our speedometer, number one, or two, we say, I wonder what two they're after.
We apologize for being late for Pilates.
Anything else? I can't help it. I know this has nothing to do with this story, but every time we order Chinese from a particular place over the phone, this lady goes, anything else? So that keeps happening in my head while I'm saying that to you. I'm sorry.
I mean, Have you seen Dude, Where's My Car?
Yes, and then.
He's at the fast food. He's at the Asian fast food line. And he's like, I'll take whatever chicken. She goes, and then? And so he orders something else. And she goes, and then? And he goes, no more and then. And then, no and then.
In that same movie, he's like, dude, sweet.
What does mine say? Dude, what about mine? Sweet. What does mine say?
Yeah. It's funny. Even when you've said that, you know, she's like, anything else? When you say the whole thing is done, she's like, anything else? And that anything else draws out. Anyways, okay, sorry.
Honestly, from the joke about Pilates, I would have been like, well, seems to be the opposite problem.
That wasn't a joke.
Well, that would have been funny.
Can we apologize because we were late for Pilates?
I would have been like, well, seems to be the opposite problem. This is a joke. Just
all right.
Have a nice laugh.
All right, well, let's move to verses 11 through 21. Who wants to read that swath?
I will.
All right.
The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whosoever spreads slander is a fool. More?
Did you go to 21? Because yours reads different than mine.
In a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who strains his lips is wise, restrains his lips. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die with lack of wisdom.
Thank you so much. So this is where in verse 11, where I had underlined fountains of life, right beside it, I had rivers of living water flowing from the belly. And that's why I was thinking about with that song that came up tonight with the rivers of water and the fountain. So thank y'all for singing that. That goes right along with tonight. Anyone have thoughts here?
I would say this is an interesting thing about wealth. It reminds me of, I don't remember the name of the book, but I do remember there was a little story about a really wealthy person. I think we've covered it before, but it's just been a while, so I gotta remember. But I do remember there was a story about someone, a wealthy, I think it was a king, who brought ruin because of his own greed, but also his own paranoia. Mm-hmm. You know who I'm talking about, Justin?
King Midas?
Yes.
That's not a biblical story, that's mythology.
Are you talking
Everything
about...
just turns to gold, he dies, one of
my Midas, there's a biblical story, I know for that was a biblical story.
Talking about the rich young ruler?
Well, yeah. there's a rich guy burning in hell who had a slave named Lazarus who was not burning, and he asked that Jesus would return to earth and tell his brothers how terrible this place is because he didn't want them dead up here. And the response is that if he doesn't believe Moses and the prophets, meaning the word, they're not going to believe somebody who rose from the dead and told them. But that's the only thing I can think of other than the parable.
I think he's talking about the rich young ruler.
Rich young ruler who couldn't sell Jesus. Everything he had and follow Christ.
Yes, that's the one I'm referring to.
Mm, okay. Are you saying that in reference to verse 22?
Yes.
Okay.
Or 15?
I think, verse 15, I think it's more like the wealth of riches is their fortified city, but poverty is their ruin.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about that, too, it makes me think also about 22 and the sorrow that comes with it.
Yeah, because didn't the rich young ruler, wasn't he very sorrowful after, like, about selling all this stuff, but then nothing came of it?
Mm-hmm.
He walked away. He didn't want to sell all his stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you could say that his wealth was that fortified city.
Yeah, fortified
city. He would rather stay in this
lavish
fortified city that he created for himself than follow after the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the accounts of that, I always loved that account. And the reason I love it, because there's a place where he says, the Lord lays out the commandments. He says, I've done that from my youth. And it says, I believe it's in Luke or Mark. I believe it's Mark. It says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. But Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, come and join me.
Mm-hmm.
He called him to hundredfold. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who are wealthy, but they're unhappy. If they're, you know, if they don't have, if God's not their source. I'd say Ahab's a really good example of that as well, you know, with the garden and him wanting the garden. He couldn't be content with what he had. He wanted that. You know, there's Lot with wanting Abraham offering soil and him picking the most fertile, but then it caused him to struggle because he was so close to Sodom. So he had the finances to maintain it and all these things, but then it actually made him struggle. So there's sorrow that can come with it if we're not based in the Lord, if the Lord's not our source and we're leaning on our own.
Yeah. So somebody asked John D. Rockefeller, how much money was enough? Mm-hmm. And Rockefeller said, just a little bit more.
that's actually an actual true account. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking John D. Rockefeller, wasn't he a devout Catholic?
Probably.
Or was he a Protestant?
We were driving down Meridian and there's this mansion just before you get to Waverly on the left. And Sawyer says, oh, Mom, I want to live there. And I said, oh, no, I don't want to live there. And he says, why not? I don't want to live there. I said, because I can't keep my own house clean. What makes you think that house clean? So with a lot of money comes a lot. Oh, was that with you? With a lot of money comes a lot of responsibility.
That's true.
If you can afford a house like that, you can afford a housekeeper.
Well, that's what I was about to say.
That was that argument, yeah.
True that.
You know, the concept of rich, I we always think it in terms of, not always, but many people don't see rich as money. Mm-hmm. And that's really not true. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, money's a tool. But, you know, I look at the families represented here. You have healthy kids. You have a spouse that loves you. You had dinner, hopefully, tonight. Isn't the riches and the success of life enjoying the wealth that God has us and not? How do you put a monetary value on a sick child or a healthy child? Riches, don't get me wrong, I like that, but the riches aren't that. Mm-hmm. It's the benefit of riches is the fact that you can give to people, help people, minister to people. That's the benefit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Not the hoarding. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's not wealth. Mm-hmm. Wealth is giving it.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, and it makes you reassess what is success. And so that's a good point. And then it also, I think it's also saying, you know, if your source is in the Lord, it can be a blessing because you can do that. You can give and things like that. I know it's simple, but the part that ministered to me the most in this chapter was in verse 12, where it talks about hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. When I think of love covering all offenses, I mean, I know this is simple, but we all fall short. And so when you just think about the Jesus, that we get to go to heaven because even though we all fall short, He's covering that because He loves us and he died for us. So that, you know, it's all about Jesus whenever we're in the Word, but that just, and I know it's the most simple thing in here, but, and it's obvious, but that's what just like really just rocked my boat again today. So when I was going through this,
Well, it's a lot easier to extend grace to other people if you try to keep in the forefront of your mind just how much you fall short.
Oh, yeah.
I think that when we have feelings of hatred or whatever, it's because we have lost sight of our own wretchedness.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that's a good reminder, just to keep in the forefront of your mind, I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve what Jesus did for me. And if I don't deserve it, who am I to condemn anybody else? Mm-hmm. And so it just puts you in a position to intercede for them instead of condemn. Because thank God, you know, he loved me.
You know, it's interesting. I know this doesn't have, well, it does have to do with what you're saying, but and this is kind of a bunny trail. I know Jarvis and I have talked about this. I don't know if you remember, but you and I talked about this one time sitting at the car track. But, you know, we see different things, you know, come across, you know, Facebook or whatever, and it's like, they're a Christian, and they're so da da da, or whatever, you know. So when someone's not a Christian, they just see every single time you mess up, where you fall short, and you're judged for that one thing, or that what, you know, whatever. And you just, it's like, you're, I mean, at the end of the day, what it seems to me, people who are not walking with the Lord have a hard time grasping. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be constantly dotting our I's and crossing our T's, but we do depend on the Lord and walking righteously daily. We can't do it perfectly on our own. I mean, we are wretched. We do mess
yes.
up. You know what I mean? But the first thing you'll hear or see, and I think he and I were talking about something that someone had posted, but is that call out, you know, what a hypocrite, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, do you not realize that we're Christians because we know that we're not perfect? We're not Christians because we think we're perfect. We're Christians because we've come to the realization mm-hmm. we're not perfect and we can't do it without him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a good observation.
And the thing is, they get hyper-focused on all the ways you mess up, but it's like, the reality is you're messing up and you've accepted him because you know you mess up. You know what I mean? It's so backwards, you know,
mm-hmm.
but yet here we continue to try to, you know, be perfect and do it right and say it right all the time, and we
all
just don't.
Yeah.
We just don't.
Well, you also need to realize that's a spiritual attack.
Absolutely.
When this spirits can't get you internally,
yeah,
they'll hit you externally.
Absolutely.
Through others that have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's got to be the same thing. Thank God for his grace and mercy.
Yeah, because the first thing I would say to you is, it's not if, it's when you're going to see me fall short.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I'm going to do something wrong. It's when I'm going to say something wrong to you. It's not if. It's when I'm going to mess up.
Wait and see how I respond when I mess up.
You know what I mean?
But it says, hatred brings strife.
Yeah.
When you look at media, you look at social media, people that are content don't need to get online and complain about stuff.
Yeah.
It's the people that are haters and are angry that have to let everybody in the world know about it.
Yeah. I know we've been kind of jumping around.
Yeah.
In verse 13, what kind of stuck out to me was, you know, gaining understanding, you're learning wisdom. And if you're not going to learn wisdom by hearing it calling to you and seeking it and all of that, then you're going to go through some struggles. You're going to experience it. And that's what I felt like I had rod represented or underlined. I kind of feel like that's what rod means, is that you could have learned the easy way, maybe from gleaning it from someone or gaining the wisdom from something. But if you choose not to do that, you might learn it the hard way and go through the experience of it. What are y'all's thoughts? Did I interpret that?
Yes. And it says, you know, if you see a fence and it looks old and kind of rickety,
mm-hmm.
still standing, be careful not to remove it until you know why they put it there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it is even referenced in Ecclesiastes, I believe. The old landmarks, you've got to be very careful of, you know. And the thing that makes me sad today is I see an uprooting, not by everybody, of course, but a uprooting of what helped make our country the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me sad, you know.
I was talking.
And it means that there's a lack of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that for anybody. I want to make sure, as we serve the Lord and make our way, that we don't forget the old landmarks. And I think, you know, if you look at our wars and all the things that we did wrong, but ultimately we do have landmarks of righteousness. And if we will look back, we'll have understanding too of why they did what they did.
I was thinking about a conversation with someone that really, we have totally opposite belief systems, like politically, you know, just, it was like, it was not even, you know, and, you know, when you're trying to have a conversation, you know, you're trying to find where you can connect, and ultimately that's kind of what I ended with was, you know, I'm really glad you're able to tell me your feelings, because the only reason you have the freedom to do that is because of our founding fathers.
Mm-hmm.
They set things up for you to have the freedom to do that, because somewhere else you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Our right to worship, who our right of religious freedom, meaning that, say, if I'm a Catholic and you would say, let's say you're a Protestant and I'm a Catholic and we both have different religions, right? In this case, we can practice those freely. We won't have to worry about, you know, being told, oh no, you can't practice your faith because so-and-so, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember one of the few things about the Skinner family is that we as a nation originated from people that fled the king's tyranny, who had control controlling the church, and they didn't exactly agree with that.
Yeah.
So our country was family founded by religious refugees, playing a tyrannical king, but also a man who believed he should have controlled the church and, you know, interpret things.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. Hear y'all's thoughts on that in verse 14.
I think it's talking about, I would say, false prophets, but also people who are notoriously going to, who are lying or charlatans. I think there's multiple examples in the Bible of people who are notorious liars and are very charismatic with people, and are eventually found. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's like several cases of this. And when even Jesus exposed, I think, such a person, who was it? That Jesus was. It was a very charismatic person that was like preaching lies. But I don't remember
Jesus,
who it was.
Or Jesus. And it's Simon the Sorcerer. Yeah.
Yes, that's a, yes, Simon, yeah. That is an example. I think that's what that verse is a reference, a good reference to. Is
what's that saying you used to say to the kid? You have two eyes, two ears, and one mouth?
Yes.
Use your mouth.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're headed in the right direction, but he didn't specify about false prophecy per se or lying, but not that a fool couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit broader than that, not quite so specific. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, the word sophomore comes to mind. Do y'all know what sophomore?
Mm-hmm. I do not.
Somebody thinks they know everything and they know nothing.
Yeah,
that's. I think that's what he's talking about. It's those who haven't taken the time to gain wisdom, but are trying to impress people,
mm-hmm,
in their ignorance.
Yeah, it says even a fool is wise if he keeps his mouth shut.
Yes.
I think Stan brought that up
a couple
Sundays ago.
I know, yeah. I think Jill said that too in one of their first meetings on Proverbs.
Yeah.
That's why I keep my mouth shut in meetings.
But there's a place to speak, but you just, you know.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on verses 15 or 16?
I think we covered verses 15.
Well, we read 321, so we've covered. I'm just kind of going through a little bit.
Yes.
Any other thoughts from any fresh people? Fresh humans. Justice, any thoughts?
We got a shy crowd tonight, it seems.
Yeah.
You don't have to have something. I was just asking.
Hatred serves a conflict, but love covers all wrongs. It's, you know, I've had a lot of conflict in my life recently I don't want to talk about, but you can't let that aggression get to you, and you can't. Yeah, a lot of it's toward people I want to consider friends, and they didn't have to talk with, you know, those friends, and you don't want to keep that aggression towards them.
Yeah.
In some godly means.
Sounds like the Lord was ministering to me and you today on the same verse.
Honestly, it's been probably about 3 weeks of not just one incident, but multiple incidents. Probably good here.
It's interesting. You can choose to love, but the second you choose anger, you lose control. The anger takes over.
As I said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He said, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. It's always talking about how wise men lay up knowledge. Wise men, they become the leaders, the rulers, and they have the wealth. And the poor people, because they don't have their ignorance, they fall into the following. They're the followers, and they, their poverty. And then it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, you know. And so it's like lack of knowledge leads to poverty. And then he says, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor, right? Jesus said, I'll preach the gospel to the poor. So he's focused on the poor, you know. My people are the poor people, sort of, you know. The rich have, he said, they have their reward, you know, the wealthy people. He said, they have their reward, you know. That's all.
I think it talks about, too, the rich become richer and the poor become poorer.
That's true, because
it says, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of poor is their ruin. I don't know where things are exactly. Justin is usually really good at this. But the rich become richer, the poor become poorer. But it also talks about, you know, those who learn how to store and allow it to multiply, they're going to continue to grow in that. And that's not just with, like, a financial riches. That's with, growing in the Word or whatever.
But the poor, blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. The poor have spirit, so they have the true riches. It says, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. They're poor materially, but they have the Holy Ghost, which are the true riches, you know. So they have, you know. And then the rich people have their reward already, you know, so they can only enjoy here on this earth.
You know, the thing, Mark, I was thinking about, for a Christian to be, to have wealth is not a curse. I mean, Abraham wasn't poor, Isaac wasn't poor, Jacob wasn't poor. You know, if you start going through, if you look at the New Testament, you'll find out that Cornelius, was constantly giving to the church. If God blesses, that's great. But money in and of itself is not a bad thing for a believer. If you look at
United States, you look at Christian nations, you'll find that there is a tendency to be richer. Now, that's not always true, but
yeah.
So is the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. Not money.
Right.
It's the love of it.
What were we going to say, Justin?
Well, you asked about verse 15. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, and poverty is the ruin of the poor. Mm-hmm. Kind of, what does that mean? So I got a new Bible, and it has a good little like synopsis on it, verse 15.
Okay.
It's talking about wealth, which back then was crops, but as well as revenue in general. Mm-hmm. That commodity may serve as a source of security and comfort for somebody, but it should never usurp God as the source of one's trust and confidence. In Proverbs, the rich have wealth, but tragically are wise according to their own eyes and harshly lord over the poor. Mm-hmm. For a moment, their wealth is a fortified city against imminent disaster, but their ultimate folly finally ruins them, unlike the righteous. And then the word ruin, constant suspense, fear, and worry due to imminent disaster. This word links the folly of the poor speech with the folly of being a rich person. And then the poor, it says they are destitute like the homeless. So, I guess the overall theme in Proverbs so far about those that are rich and wealthy, they are taking their own credit for it, mm-hmm. and they have this false sense of security because they're foolish. Mm-hmm. And then there's like even in Proverbs 18, is it 18 or 17? It just talks about, let's see, where is it? Proverbs 17:9? Nope, that was Love Covers Multitude. Let's see. The mouths of the fools, this is Proverbs 18:7. The mouths of the fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very own lives. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels, and they go down in the inmost parts.
Thank you. Thank you for homing that for us, Justin.
What kind of Bible do you have? What type did you get?
Big one. Heathen Slayer 500.
It is heavy.
It is the Theological Study Bible.
I feel like that kind of summed up that section for us. Would anyone be interested in reading verse 22 through 26?
I can read it.
Go ahead.
22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I'm going to switch over to this one. It's bigger, so I'm just going to change the version really quick.
Apparently bigger is better than mine.
Always.
Okay, so I'm starting in 21, right?
22.
Sorry, can I start again?
Yeah.
The Lord's blessing enriches, and he adds no painful effort to it. As shameful conduct is pleasure for a fool, so wisdom is for a person of understanding. What the wicked dreads will come to him, but what the righteous desire will be given to them.
26.
When the whirlwind passes, the wicked are no more, but the righteous are secure forever. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so the slacker is to the one who sends him on an errand.
Okay, thank you. Guys, sorry if I don't always stop y'all and y'all are expecting me to, because some of your Bibles read different, I'm not able to translate in my head as fast because mine reads differently than some of y'all. So,
What version was that?
That was
ESV.
CSV.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It was pretty close to mine, so.
It's very close to the ESV.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All righty. So I had originally when I was using the examples with Lot and Ahab, that's what I was referencing is here in 22 with the sorrow with it. To me, this is the difference between your focus on the Lord, He is your source, and you're growing in riches. And like you said, it's a blessing. It doesn't have, it's not necessarily a negative thing. It's not a bad thing for a Christian to be rich. Being rich is not a bad thing. It's the problem is, what's your source while you're becoming rich and when you're rich? Because if He's not your source and you're sitting there trying to attain, and then all these riches, you're depending on yourself, you're trusting in yourself, you're going to have sorrow because you're going to find that it's not going to make you happy. Mm-hmm. Because that, once you've gotten that far and you find out, well, I thought that was my source, and now I'm realizing that's not the source of my happiness and my joy. Mm-hmm. So it's a blessing for the Christian. It's not necessarily a blessing. Yeah. You're not.
Like you said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, the blessing of the Lord. Yeah, and then he added no sorrow with it. And I was reading, there's no extra work going with it, you know, the blessing of the Lord. Your burden is easy, my yoke is easy. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
And,
so what are y'all's thoughts on in 23 and 24?
Oh, yeah. It is a sport, as a sport to a fool to do mischief, you know. Some people enjoy doing bad stuff, I guess. And then, it's like wisdom is bound up in the heart of a child, or, you know, I don't know. But
foolishness.
Foolishness, I guess, yeah. Sport. Yeah.
23, I always think of that, you only live once. Huh? That's kind of the attitude of people who do.
Oh, that's true.
They're like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
YOLO.
You only die once. You get to live every day.
Well, I'm just, that's the saying.
But in the world, that's what they say.
I mean, yeah. I look at these folks, my kids will watch it sometimes, like extreme sports. What is it, the Red Bull challenges? I don't know if you've ever watched them.
Yeah.
Where people do crazy things, you know, without nets or harnesses. They take these terrible risks, and you only live once. Mm-hmm. And the thrill is worth it to them.
Splat.
Most of the time they don't go splat, because it's almost like fear is what makes you go splat. These guys are fearless. It's crazy. But that's not wise.
There is a full body x-ray on the internet of Travis Pastrana, and he's got so much like metal in his body. He's one of the Red Bull athletes.
Oh, it's crazy.
He was the first person to jump out of a plane without a parachute and live all that.
I have two metal toes.
Do you?
I do. My two big toes are metal.
Wow.
Really?
I've had bionic
2-foot surgeries. Ballroom dancing and high heels, jumping, soccer. I had the worst bunions here. I had old lady feet by the time I was in high school. And they had to break my toe, shave off the bunions, stick a pin in, and put it back on.
So you got a metal detector at the airport?
I was worried about that, but I actually make it through just fine. Yeah.
I can't even go.
I still have the scar, Steve.
Your
flip upside
down.
I'm sick.
I have bionic feet. Okay.
I believe it was Ford trucks and everything. You know, it's in the sport of fools to do mischief. I'm thinking of practical jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are always doing practical jokes, and I know that Ford, when he would have big dinner parties, when they would serve the salad, you know how you put croutons on the salad? He would sometimes put wood chips.
Yeah.
And he got a big laugh out of people crunching on wood chips. And,
That's mean.
But some people really like practical jokes.
And
somebody else's expense. It might be dangerous.
Yeah, it could be dangerous, yeah. But
it's the sport of a fool to do mischief.
I don't know that the context of this is talking about practical jokes, though.
No.
It's talking about scheming to get an advantage in life with poverty versus wealth.
Well, and I think in addition to that, Justin, when we're talking about in 25, you know, the wisdom, wise people are on a firm foundation. But if you're wicked, anything that you struggle with, any temptation, it could, if we go through suffering, we still have a firm foundation that we can depend on, and we know that that is our source, and we can trust in that. But if a wicked person who doesn't have him as their source, he's not their foundation. Mm-hmm. So,
well, listen to the New Testament context of that.
Mm.
We keep having this us versus them thing,
mm-hmm.
when we are capable of being in the foolish category.
That's true.
Matthew 7, which is kind of a overlap of this. It's I really like this Bible.
I'm glad you brought it.
So the wise and the foolish builders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against the house, and it did not fall, because it had the foundation on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who mm-hmm. built his house on sand. The rain came down, streams rose, and the winds blew against that house, and it fell to a great crash.
It's true.
Like, we gotta. I'm not saying that we've done it, but we gotta be careful not to get into the habit of like, oh well, that could happen to us because we're Christians, mm-hmm. we're saved.
No,
but he's talking about everybody that hears his voice.
That's true.
Some people might think that they're believers and hear his voice, but they don't do what the voice is commanding them to do, and then they're going to get swept away.
Well, and you know, Justin, in addition to that, that kind of goes to, like, accountability. You know, it's kind of like the wise counsel situation. You might think you're making the wise choice, but then once you've gotten some wise counsel or the body of Christ around you, and you get a better way, or you learn a better way, or you get a higher light, that wisdom, if you're not listening to that when it's obvious at that point, you're kind of reaping what you sow there. And it's not because of a desire. You don't want someone to reap what they sow in that matter, but you were given the wisdom, so, and it's calling out to us. So that's a good point. Good overlap.
It's a sport of fools to make mischief. I think of the troublemakers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, there are kids, there are bullies, there are people out there that are out there just to make trouble. Mm-hmm. They've made a sport out of it. That's fun to them.
Yeah. And you're supposed to put up with it, be a good sport, right? But it doesn't always work.
Because they burned down New York after a basketball game. Yes.
Yeah.
But that's what I think of anyways.
Yeah.
When I read that, fools make a sport.
I was thinking about like all the crime I keep hearing about in Tallahassee. And
there's a lot lately.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
I'm not going to go into it, but like, I know someone and they just keep getting arrested, and I'm just like, this kid has no hope.
Mm-hmm. I was the counselor we used to tell them, some people get arrested and some people get rescued. God puts them in the belly of the whale to keep them from the natural consequences of their actions.
Well, I'm not getting into it, but there is no rescuing this guy.
There's always rescue. Jesus can turn any life around.
As much as I pray for this guy, I don't think there is.
Well, Justin, thank you for the overlap. In verses, we just have one last section because it's getting a little later. Who would like to read verses 27 through 32? Thanks, Jane. Go.
The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, But the mouth of the wicked speaketh full frivolous.
Thank you, Jane. So, dropping down for just a minute, on verse 29, it was talking about the way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless. I had a little note by it, strength, and that reminded me of the other song that y'all sang tonight. So, mm-hmm. Anyways. All right, so what are your thoughts?
The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. I love that word, hope. And I think that as believers, we have a living hope, and that our hope and our expectation is that God will reward the righteous, mm-hmm. and he will deal with those that choose not to be righteous, which only he can give. But those that live to do evil, and I think who said there's a lot of crime in Tallahassee, maybe I'm not listening to it, a lot of crime in Tallahassee. There's a lot of crime everywhere. Mm-hmm. But people that have a tendency to do mischief or to belittle their brother or sister, feel good when they can put somebody down. That's not what we do, or we shouldn't do. So the hope of the righteous shall be gladness to see somebody prosper, to see somebody do good.
Oh, we're getting back to the what does it say? Anyway, they said that what we were just earlier talking about the wickedness of sport to them, you know. I think of also the elites, the wealthiest people. What they're doing, it's like a game of chess to them. We're like their pawns, and they're playing this high-level game of chess with the world, you know. Like, it's just a game with them. Gathering up riches, you know.
That's okay, because God's playing multi-dimensional chess.
Oh, that's right, that multi-dimensional.
I read the book, God Wins.
Okay. Checkmate, right? Yeah.
Any other thoughts in verses 28 through 30?
What do you think 26 means?
Me?
Yeah.
So go to those. Send him.
You know, it's funny. I have vinegar to the teeth, smoke for the eyes. You know, the alibi Ikes. I don't know if you've ever met somebody that always has an alibi, a reason they're doing something. But when a pretended is called B, and they're always calling me, I can't do it this month, I'm a little late, I have this going on and that going on. And it's sometimes you have to say, listen, you used that excuse 2 months ago. You got to change it up a bit. And it just becomes a repetitive thing. I got a toe ache. And I don't think we should be critical because things happen. But when it becomes a pattern, it becomes vinegar to the teeth. It just kind of, it's kind of smoke in your eyes.
I was just going to say, the smoke in your eyes seems to me like a blindness.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to reference the vinegar to your teeth. What would you say, Justin?
So this Bible's pointing me to Proverbs 26:6.
Okay.
As kind of a I'm building up on that,
mm-hmm.
where it says, sending a message by the hands of a fool is like cutting off one's own feet or drinking poison. Like the useless legs of one who is lame is a proverb in the mouth of a fool.
So I think it's dealing with agitation. The smoke in your eyes is irritating. The vinegar in your teeth is irritating. You send, if I ask for help and you send somebody over that I have to watch over and explain everything to and wants to sit and complain the whole time, it's not doing me any good. It's an irritant more than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it's referring to there.
Hmm.
In 26.
For some reason, it's not resonating with me.
Mm-hmm.
But Absalom died, was killed, Joab did it. Amaz wanted to go as a messenger to David and say, you know, you're winning the war.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked by the general, you don't have the message. You don't have the message. But if you, and he kept begging him to do it, he says, okay, go ahead and run. And there's many people that don't have the full message. And it's fun sometimes to listen to the kids. Well, so-and-so did this. I wonder why they would do that. You wonder what the rest of the story is. And then you find out, well, that is, I think, a reference to this section of Scripture, too. You know.
So I kind of got stuck on, in verse 31, the perverse tongue will be cut off. So, how, obviously that's not happening naturally. No one's like going around cutting tongues out. But how would y'all reference that? I kind of got stuck on that one.
Think cancel culture. If somebody's always running their mouth, nobody wants to be around them. They're cut off. They're isolated. They're...
Yeah.
It just means silenced.
Okay.
From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be silenced.
Okay. So I'm thinking cut off. I get very literal thinking.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know no one's going around cutting tongues off.
Not in this country.
Depends what you say to my wife.
Maybe in other countries, but not here.
So for 32, the... In my King James, it says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
For the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the way the Christian Standard Bible says it. The lips of the righteous know what is appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. There's a discernment that
yes.
comes with righteousness. There's a discernment that comes with knowing what to say,
mm-hmm.
when to say it, when it's going to bring life, when it's going to bring death. But the mouth of the wicked, blah, 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 has, you know, there's no guard.
There's no filter.
There's no guard, no filter. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Balance take me to Ecclesiastes 10:12.
Alyssa's favorite book.
Chase your bunny trails. Yeah.
Boom.
Hum it in for us, Jessa, and then we'll close up.
Boom. 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 Come on, Eck.
And then you can take it off.
I know.
Ecclesiastes what?
10:12.
It is, the words from the mouth of a wise person are gracious, but the lips of a fool consume them.
There you go.
Why does this sound similar to a certain chat we just read?
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Well, you know, there's a lot of really common themes throughout. I mean, I feel like he presents us the same truth over and over again, but from a little bit different
perspective.
You know, it's like, I tell my kids, clean your room, clean your room, clean your room. But when I say, clean your room, they finally understand and hear me. So.
And when Jesus was, remember he was dealing with these demons, he suffered them not to speak.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, it goes to show we have to keep seeking out wisdom, because we could easily become the fool or be the fool of the matter.
I think there's times we are the fool.
Yeah.
I just pray that
we have to be careful.
More times than not, we're wise. But hopefully it'll balance out.
Yeah.
Yeah, our foolishness over time, we get wise and the foolishness becomes less and less. All right.
Take it away, good ones.
You sell again something?
Well, I was just going to say vinegar to the teeth. That's like sour wine.
Okay.